welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Now that I've attached my identity to myself, and I'll be talking about this now. You might see the title there. It says Marble King. I don't know if any of you played marbles as a kid. I was just chatting to a friend of mine in the morning service on how we used to just exchange marbles and how we used to gather them. And at school, specifically at primary school, I didn't really play marbles in high school. It was a bit uncool. But maybe it's uncool today, but I don't know. Anyway, the point I'm getting to is when I was at primary school and I was thinking about a good title for this message was The Marble King. And the reason why, I'm just going to show you a great example here. I used to have actually two of these. I used to carry them on either side. I'd walk through the primary school and the girls would even come up to say, "Oh, John, can't we have some marbles?" And I'd give them, or, you know, and I'd feel really good about myself. And it's interesting looking back now on those days that now it means nothing. It's actually really strange that I've kept this. It's like a bit of like I've held on to it. I'm like, but I was that, but I'm not that. All right? But the fact is that there's things in our lives at times that we really identify with. We place our identity in them. And I know that when I was at school, that was the biggest thing for me. I treasured what I had. All right? I treasured my, I could say, something that I almost idolized in my life. Even at such a young age, I found so much purpose in being the Marble King. And people knew me at school. Like, that guy's the Marble King. If you need to speak to him about anything about marbles, you go speak to him. And when you used to play on the field, I remember we had like a marble field, and we all played different types of games with marbles and stuff. I was there. I was the man. You know, that was my field, and I ruled it. And it's strange. I was actually playing. I was seeing if I still had some of my skill. I was actually playing marbles, very strangely again, with my mother in the garden, trying to see if I could still do it. But enough jokes for now. I'm going to put them down. You can come see them later if you need to. Anyway, so we're talking about the Marble King. And I'm going to just mention a few things this evening that actually tie into this message because, like I said, when I was a kid, I identified with that. And things haven't really changed much if I think about it. Now there's just different things. There's different things that I identify with. And in preparing for this message, I actually had a strange recollection of thoughts and just reflections on, you know, what is my life really made up of? You know, what? I'm not the Marble King anymore, so who am I? Like, where do I find my identity and what I do? You know? And we had our 10-year reunion a few days ago at our school, and I met up with some friends of mine. They're not here tonight, but they're also in church with us. And we were just talking about this, you know, after 10 years, what have we done with our lives? And just thinking about this, and, you know, a lot of people, when we went there, you meet everyone, you're like, oh, so many faces. Hi there, what do you do? Oh, I'm an engineer. Oh, great, good for you, man. You know, or I'm an accountant, or this. Nothing more than that. You know, it's just according to your, basically your qualification and your job. And that's what people define even themselves at. As you know, and I was in a bit of an unfortunate situation because just looking back at my year, I've run a failed business, a business that hasn't succeeded, where God said do it, and it failed. And I learned a lot through it, but the fact is it's failed, and it hasn't gone where I wanted it to go. I quit my job at the end of last year because God said it's time to quit, and I had a good job. I was a high school teacher at a really good school just opposite us here. And I was involved in many people's lives, but God said, I want you to resign. And I found a lot of my identity even in that, that, you know, I made a difference. I counted to someone, even if it was a grade 8 boy that needed to learn about geography. That's the fact. I mattered. You know? And I was faced with all these ideas bombarding my head on what matters. And it's probably about 3 years ago, I also injured my knee. And I was a really good runner. I used to enjoy running. If you knew Alistair at the church before, he was a really good runner. And we used to run together, and sometimes I'd beat him. Most times he'd beat me. But the fact is, we enjoyed running a lot. And I think once I had my knee injury, I couldn't run anymore. And I also partially lost some of my identity even, and that I identified with the physical abilities that I had, and that I could actually do these types of things. And the reality is, that's not who I am. And we're going to look at that now because it's pertinent to you as well and who you are. I'm going to touch on one or two things. On what can influence us, on what can define us, you know, this evening. And it's funny, we're coming to the end of the year, and everyone's, oh, this thing's making a lot of noise. Is it okay? There we go. We're coming to the end of the year, and I'm starting to think, like, wow, what's happened to this year? Maybe you're all in that place as well, and you're already starting to plan for next year. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to be fitter, I'm going to eat better. And you're starting to gauge how you're going to do that. And the reality is that God is actually still busy with you, even on a spiritual level for this year. He's preparing you for next year. And a lot of us, we just wind down and we sort of slip into December. That's how I always feel. I'm like, whew. And that's the place actually where the devil hits you the most. It's like, well, now I'm going to show you really what's going to happen. Because we usually, at most times, slip away from God in that time, come back in January and have a massive repentance service. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. But we'll still do that, but the fact is that God is still busy with you. He's still busy with you, and he's actually wanting to do something tonight and just setting you free and reminding you of who you actually are. So there's a few things I want to mention this evening. People's opinions, all right? People may have opinions of me now that I've worn a moon bag full of marbles, but that's okay. I'm all right. I'll deal with that. People's opinions, what they say about you. We allow that to define us most times. We allow it to define who we are. It might have happened even in your past. It might have been things that your parents said. It could be 10, 20, 30 years ago. Something a parent said, you know, or even a teacher said, you'll never pass. And maybe you never did. The problem is that we say things and we take often what people say, the opinions people have of us, and that can form even a part of our identity, that we are a failure. I'm a failure. And you say it. You know what? You don't say it out loud, but in your mind, you repeat it. You know what? Maybe that person was right. Maybe I will never be more than what I am now. Maybe I'll never actually succeed. All right? So people's opinions, and I know, especially as young people, our peers, I know when you get older people, they don't really worry too much. I don't know if you've ever seen them go to the beach and they rock up in their costumes. No shame. They're just like, I'm getting to the sea. And you're just like, oh, no, that's not allowed. But they don't care. They just go. But I know even when I go to the sea, I'm like, I'm really white. I'm just white by natural. I can't help it. In tan, I just go red. All right? But the fact is, we're so worried about what people think. You don't even know those people, but you're like, oh, I don't know if I look okay, you know? But it's our peers even, you know, your friends and stuff, they say, yeah, you should really look at yourself and like dress better and all those types of things. We really worry about those things and the opinions of people. I know this because obviously I'm human as well, but I worked in a boarding house full of boys and teenagers specifically, and some of them become men eventually. But the reality is that I constantly see people struggling from a young age through their lives to identify, to belong. They feel like they can't belong, and they'll do stupid, stupid things to belong. I know that sometimes they will regret those things, you know, the things that they've done as a child to belong. Maybe you've done things where you regret that you ever did that because that's what your peer said is cool or you should do, you know. It can even be in a working environment. I know I used to go on these school trips, and I'm just talking out of my own life, but the staff sometimes would get completely hammered at a hockey tour or something and just go crazy. And I'd often be the one sitting out and just talking to them. Eventually, I couldn't talk properly anymore, so I'd have to leave. But the reality is, there was such pressure put on me to belong. And I realized that at that stage that, you know what, you guys have made your life choices, but I'm not going to choose that. I know that I'm set apart for something different. And maybe you will end up in a work situation where you'll be pressurized even in your work environment. Even though you know who you are as a Christian, you're still pressurized to conform. That was for free. It wasn't actually on here. Then, even people in church. This is a scary one. Like, oh, no, but we're in church. No, you can't say that. But people in church, we are unfortunately influenced by the world. And sometimes people in church will say something to you, and you'll believe it. And it might not be what God wants. It might not even be the truth, but you'll believe it. Or you'll take offense from people in church. I know that I've taken offense, you know, because I worry about what people are saying and what they think about me. I'll put down here, because I used to, and I still fall into this trap, I become a people pleaser. You know, you just want to keep people happy, and you want to actually please people instead of what God is actually doing and saying. And you seek to be better. You seek to be better than actually just being yourself and just actually being what God has called you to be. And you will strive to look for the opinions of man and what man has to say about you and think about you. And those, actually, it's great. You know, when someone comes to you and say, you know what, Henning, you did such a great job this year. You know, that lasts for a second or maybe even a month, and then it's gone. It's fleeting. Man's appraisal is fleeting. It doesn't last. But it's funny, we put so much energy into pursuing it, pursuing what man says about us. It could even be at your work. You know, you're just going crazy to impress a person. And then you're actually falling where God's actually called you to please him. And we're going to look at that now, but maybe that's you. You know, maybe you identify with that and you struggle and you find yourself being a people pleaser at times. What the world offers as success and says about you. Well, I've realized this year because my business has failed and I quit my job, and you know, I'm also married, which just makes it very difficult because, you know, as a man, you're supposed to be a provider. So God's taught me a lot about this year in trusting him and not always leaning on my own understanding and what he's doing in a season. But the fact is that we often look at the success of the world. And I think we often presented with this even in our work environment, maybe at varsity. I know I wasn't the brightest student. Well, I was a bit lazy, to be honest. But the fact is that a lot of people did a lot better at school and at varsity and even at work. And I was harshly reminded of that when I went to my 10-year reunion. And I compared myself to them. I'm like, sure, you're doing really well. You know, one guy owned a helicopter at the age of 28. I'm like, wow, that's pretty impressive. But the fact is that, does it matter? Does it really matter? Does it really matter on what the world has to say about us? And material pursuits, we'll pursue these things. And I'm warning you now tonight. You might not say, you know, it's a great message, but that doesn't apply to me. But you'll all be challenged with all these things at some point in time. We will pursue these material things like a house, okay? Having a house is not a bad thing. But when it becomes like your obsession to live in even a specific area, and that you will sacrifice so much to live in a place that maybe God doesn't want you to live, all right? Or drive that car, you know? And you're all thinking, yeah, that car. And actually, that car that maybe God wants you to buy is maybe not brand new. Maybe it's not as smart as it would be. And I think it's important for us to be reminded of these things, because sometimes we can, you know, we can even arrive at church and like, you know, that guy drives that car. Wow. You know, and it's part of your identity. It's similar to your marbles. It's just much bigger. It's a car now. All right? So it's important that we just check our hearts on where we're placing our focus. Vanity, like I mentioned a bit earlier, vanity is just how you look and how you dress. And maybe you've even been pressurized, you know, to style your hair a certain way, wear a certain type of clothes, you know, or even, you know, do something that you wouldn't necessarily do by yourself, physically to yourself, so you could just fit in. And it's such a strange thing because we all have a deep longing to fit in and belong. So we'll do what everyone else is just to belong. It's a bit strange. But anyway, let's have a look at this. Another thing is your job, okay? Some of you might be even sitting here and doing a job and finding yourself in a job where you didn't really desire to do that, but because of peer pressure, because of what someone said, could have been your parents, it could have been someone else, said, no, don't do that, that's a stupid job, you'll never make money. And you believed them at the time because you thought that was important. Maybe God's got something else for you in plan, not necessarily the job that you're doing at the moment. And yes, you might have studied 4 or 5 years to get to that place and now you're doing it, but the reality is, were you influenced and have you built maybe part of your identity and who you are now on what happened then and the choice that happened then? Maybe even angry with those people deep down. You don't even know it. But you're angry that they influenced you in that direction. Who you know, right? Maybe you know someone famous. You know what? I know this guy, right? I think the only person we should really be excited about knowing is Jesus. And often, we're like, yeah, I actually know Philip Ossoff. He's a really cool guy. And like, we're close, you know. We might play golf every now and then. But maybe it's because just the people we identify, even at work, you know, you might identify with specific people and you build your little life around the people you hang around with. Your achievements and experiences. Maybe you are really, you're just driven. You're such a driven person. You strive to achieve in everything. Look, doing everything excellently is fine. But sometimes we build our identity on striving for achievements, to achieve in life and to be the best in everything you're doing. And maybe that's not necessarily who you should be. You should just accept experiences. I often find this. I meet friends from school or varsity and they're like, I've been to 30 countries. I'm like, that's wonderful. That's great. And they've done so much. But they build their lives on these experiences. And you know where I see it most? This might knock some of you on Facebook. They live through this fantasy world of posting pictures on all these different countries, and then they come back to South Africa, and they're just as unhappy as they were when they left. And I wonder, there's something wrong there, because they're basing their life and their identity on the next experience, on the next music concert they went to, on the next. But they're not really at peace. Then, the things you haven't done right. Maybe you're sitting here, you know, John, you don't know my past. You don't know the things that I've done wrong in my life. And to be honest, they shape a bit of who I am right now. And I can't help it, but that's what it is. I've done something wrong, and I'm living with that shame or regret. You know? Maybe you've done something right. You know, you made the right choice. Yeah. But you're living off even that you've done something right. Maybe something happened to you, which wasn't your fault, but it's happened to you, and it's unfair. It's really, really unfair, but it's formed part of your identity. It's formed part of who you are. You know, you couldn't help it, and it was horrible, and it's happened. We know that Satan is the deceiver. He does not create our identity, but he distorts, perverts, and even attempts to destroy it. He will use any means possible to make us feel ineffective, worthless, and unwanted. Many times we will listen to and believe the lies that find their way into our thoughts. And it's these thoughts that we water by repetition. We identify, we say, oh, well, maybe that is who I am. And all those things I've mentioned, and I'm sure I would have mentioned, something would have, you're like, yeah, that actually could be me. But if you reinforce those things in your mind, often that's who you start to believe you are. And we're going to look at that tonight because that's not the truth. That's the deceiver working there. That's the devil. Maybe this has been spoken over you. It's a thought that even comes to you. I'll never be good enough. I'll never be good enough. I don't matter. Nobody really cares about me. I'll never overcome that hurt, that sin, or that loneliness. or even that shame that you carry with you. If we're honest, most times, or more times than most, we will listen to those voices. We will listen to those things spoken to us. And what Satan says, and what the world says, and what even other people say about us. But we won't listen to what God says. We won't look to the truth. And tonight we're going to look at the truth because it's important for us to have a look and see what God says about us. We've had a look enough at what the world has to say, about what our parents, our peers, even what Satan has to say about us. We're going to look now at what the Word has to say on who we are. You might have studying a bit, if you did science or geography, there's this Christian philosopher and writer. He was also a scientist. His name is Blaise Pascal. Maybe you've heard of him. But he coined this phrase and this quote, and I just found it, and I really felt it really good to just share it before we start. It says here, "Not only do we know God through Jesus Christ, but we only know ourselves through Jesus Christ. We only know life and death through Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus, we cannot know the meaning of life, the meaning of our death, and the meaning of God, or the meaning of ourselves. It's only in Christ." And it's just wonderful to see that he understood a bit of that. And we're going to look at this scripture now where it talks about, I believe the scripture is just going to unlock a few things for us on what our identity and who we are in God. So let's have a look here. You can read with on the screens. It's 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 10. "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests." In some other versions it says priesthood. "A holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into this wonderful light. Once you had no identity as people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy." We're going to look at a few marks of your identity, who you really are, what God's Word has to say about you. And the first one there, out of that scripture, is that you are chosen. You are chosen, right? I remember in primary school, I so badly wanted a pair of Nikes. I don't know if any of you can identify with that, but I just knew that if I got these Nike shoes, I was still small, I was in like standard one or two, but I remember so badly wanting a pair of these Nike shoes to identify with everyone around me in school. And eventually I got them for my birthday, and I was so excited. My parents bought them for me, and I wore them to school, and I was like, yeah, I'm in now, because I have Nikes. And I just found that I was so seeking to be acknowledged. I was so seeking. And maybe you guys are all like, yeah, no, I don't need acknowledgement, I'm fine. Look, you guys are human. You need to be acknowledged, but not by people. You need to be chosen by God. Right? You need to be chosen by God. And when we know that, these things sort of aren't that important anymore. Right? So I did this. I got these tackies, and if I think back now, it was so silly, actually, because no one really cares about that. No one really remembers. And I think we're going to look back in 10 years' time and wonder why we did some of the crazy things we do even now for acceptance. Maybe another example here is, I know that this happened to me sometimes, but maybe you've been that person where, you know, you're on the playground or in a sports team, and they're choosing teams. And there they go. One, two, three, there's a captain, two captains, and they're choosing, and you're just hoping, please don't let me be the last person, please. Even if I'm the second last person, as long as I'm not the last person, that person on the team. And it happened a few times where I was the last person on that team. But the reality is, maybe that even You know, that rejection. Maybe you can identify even with that. You know, like, oh, I'm that guy again. Okay, it's me, I'm coming. Kind of thing. The reality is that you have been chosen by God himself. All right, you weren't the last in the team. He chose you. And have a look at this. We're going to look at scripture now. You say, but how do we know this? You know, how do we know this, John? If you look at Ephesians 4 verse 1, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Right? So before there was even a playground, you know, before there even was teams, God chose you. He chose you. And you say, how is this possible? Right? How is this possible that Jesus could, or God could choose me? And it says, yeah, because Jesus made a way. He made a way for our acceptance. Right? Because actually, if we look at ourselves, we're not good enough. But Jesus made a way, and he made us acceptable. In Titus 3 verse 7, it says, because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. So it's not by our own doing. It's by his grace. He declared us righteous. So that's our first mark, is that we've been chosen. You have been chosen. You have been chosen. All right? The second mark of just our identity, of who we are, is that you are forgiven. You are forgiven. The first is you are chosen. You are forgiven now. In verse 10, referring back to that passage in Peter, it says, you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So now you have received mercy, right? God has pitied you, he's shown his grace upon you, and now you have received mercy, all right? You have been shown grace and mercy through God, all right? Through his love, and he's drawn you near. I think in this part as well, it's like when we come to forgiveness, I know that even in my own life, I sometimes think that God won't totally forgive me. He won't totally forgive me for my past or for something that I've done. He partially forgives me. And sometimes I think we believe that. We believe that we've got a partial forgiveness until we maybe do something wrong. Then he'll just bring it up again and say, hey, remember that? You can't. No, that's not God. That's the devil. He loves to bring up our past. We just need to remind him of his future. All right? It's important here for us to understand, right, that God has forgiven us totally, our past, present, and future, and to receive that. It's part of our identity. You know, if you walk around like, oh, you know, today is one of those days, it's a bad day. I just remember that I did this or I did that. And the reality is that is not God. That is either your past or your shame that's reminded by the devil. Right? So that's a lie. The deceiver has come and he's distorted the truth. If we have a look here in Scripture, it says in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Then in Isaiah 43 verse 25, it says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake, and will never think of them again. I love in Scripture where it also mentions that when God forgives us, he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. And that's a very long distance. He doesn't remember it. We are the ones that bring it up and say, oh, but this is part of who I am, God. I'm a sinner. No. God has come to forgive you totally. Right? In Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says, he's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. The third mark of our identity is to belong. Or it says, you belong to God. All right? You're part of his family. You belong. You are a son and a daughter. All right? And we don't always believe that, but if we have a look here in Deuteronomy verse 7, verse 6, it says, for you are holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people of earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. in Peter, it referred to possession. God possesses us. He owns us. Once we come to Him, we belong to Him. We are His special treasure, His precious possession. When God says in 2 Corinthians, it's not up there, but I'm just going to read it. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, I will be their God, and they will be my people. What He means here is that I will dwell with them and walk with them and walk among them. And even tonight, I believe God's coming to remind us of that, that He will dwell with us. He will walk among us and with us because His presence is here with us. And if we know Him, it's within us. The kingdom of heaven is within us. In John 1 verse 12, it says, But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. All right? And I really hope that even tonight that we've all come to that place where we belong to Him because, right? Because we believe in His name. We believe what Jesus has done for us. All right, so there's three we've looked at. You've been chosen, right? You've been forgiven, and now you belong, right? You belong to God. You are His possession. He has possessed you. All right. Then if we have a look here, our fourth mark of identity is that now you are holy. You have been made holy. And if we have a look at this in Hebrews 2 verse 11, so now Jesus and the ones He makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them His brothers and sisters. And often I think we'll look at our lives and say, I could never be holy. And the reality is, no, you can't be holy. Right? You can't be holy without Jesus. Jesus makes you holy and blameless before the Father. And I think sometimes we try to do it on our own strength. We say, you know what, I'm going to work out myself. I'm going to be a better person. And that's not the truth. Is we need to let Jesus come and make us holy and blameless before the Father and identify with Him and what He has done. I've got this little extract out of a book. It says, you are set apart for God. You exist for God. And since God is holy, you are holy. You share His character, and because He has chosen you, forgiven you by His grace, claimed you, and now you belong to Him, you are holy. If you do not act in a holy way, you act out of character. You contradict your essence as a Christian, for your identity is holiness to the Lord. And maybe, I know Sean's been talking a lot about this as we've been looking through the book of Leviticus. God's calling us to be a holy people. It's part of our identity. And therefore, we need to identify with His holiness. And if there's things in our lives, and maybe God's even highlighting things in your life tonight, you know that is not holy. You need to come to a place and say, God, I need you. I need you to come remove the things that separate me from you. Come make me holy. Come make me blameless before you. So, we've looked at those four marks of our identity. You are chosen, you are forgiven, you belong to God, and you are holy. The last one here is you are a royal priest, right? Or priesthood. I make it priest because it's specifically for you as the individual. In Acts 26, verse 18, to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. So we are called to be set apart. We aren't supposed to drift around in the world. We are called to be set apart for God's purposes. All right? We are in the world, but we are set apart. Once we know whose we are, we also know what our purpose is. All right? We belong to God, and therefore our purpose is for God and for His glory. I think sometimes this is the most difficult one, is where we realize that our lives aren't really about us anymore. They're about God. And we find our purpose in God, for God. You might be saying, but how is this possible? How can my life be set apart for God and glorify Him? In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, "It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of His new covenant. This is a covenant not of written law, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life." What I'm saying here with regards to our identity is that once we understand where our identity is found, we actually called for a purpose. And a lot of us, even when we come to, I think Auntie was talking about it, just where we find our purpose in life, you will only really truly know your purpose when you know whose you are, who you belong to, you know, and that you're actually part of what God is doing. And He is being glorified through His saints because they glorify Him as they lay down their lives, as you lay down your lives for God. But it's not a popular thing. We don't like to let go of our lives. And we actually are called. I'm just going to read this piece here because it says here in 1 Peter, "For He called you out of darkness." All right? If you're sitting here and you believe in the Lord Jesus, He's called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. And you're like, wow, that's great. All right? But now it goes further, and it says, "Once you had no identity as a people, you are now God's people. And the result of this is that we get to proclaim that. We get to live that out." In other versions, it says that we will get to praise God through that. We praise Him by declaring it. And I think we often say, but how do we do this? How do we live a life that glorifies God? We declare it. We praise God in our lives for calling us out of the light and into the darkness. That is where we find our purpose. All right? That is where we find our purpose, is God calling us out of the darkness into the light. I only realized that when I saw Henning smiling, I'm like, yeah, I messed that one up. Okay. You might ask, but how am I capable of doing this? How am I capable of doing this? In Philippians, and you know this verse very well, "I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me." Oh, no, wait, that's not it. "I can do half of the things through Christ who strengthens me." No, it says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Right? And it's important. Often we read the scripture, like we read it when we're going through a rough time. This is for all things. This is for us to declare the truth in our lives, to declare the work that God has done in our lives, in our work environment. I think often, even talking about your identity, it's I. Even your ID book, you know, it's me. The problem is that your identity is only found for one reason. Your identity is found because once you know whose you are, you can actually glorify the God that has made you. And in that, we declare His praises. That is the purpose of your identity. Not for yourself. Like, okay, I know who I am now. But it's not about you. The more and more you realize that your identity is found in God, the more you can realize it's not about you. And you can actually surrender that before God and allow Him to use you in your life. Is that okay? You guys are looking at me like, yo, I don't know about that. I think if I look here, some people, and including myself, while I was preparing for this, my identity was a bit distorted on who I actually am because I didn't know whose I was. I didn't have a relationship with God, but there's certain things that I identified with that weren't necessarily true. And I think the first thing to do here is for you to identify those. And that's why I shared some of them. There might be even more that God's just reminding you of. You know, that you've believed something about yourself or who you are that's not necessarily true. So the first step is to identify, right, what you believe. That lie that the devil comes to bring, you know, before you actually share with a friend about what God actually did at church or in your small group or in life. He reminds you, like, no, you can't share because you're actually a sinner. And that's a lie, right? Maybe God is just coming to remind you that he wants to remove those things from you. He wants to remove that lie that the devil is keeping reminding you about. We then need to replace it with the truth. And we've looked at the word now, what God says about us, right? And what God says is that we are chosen, okay? You're forgiven, you belong, right? What's the others? You guys taking notes? You are holy, and you are a royal priest. You are a royal priest, not because of yourself and your own doing, but what God has done in you and is doing in you. So that's the truth. It's the truth of what God is doing. We then need to replace it with the truth, like I said, and we need to pray to God. We need to ask God at times when we feel like our identity is being attacked. You know, you could be driving somewhere or in your home, and you just feel like you're being attacked. Your identity is being attacked of who you really are. I want to encourage you to go download, if you weren't here this morning, just Philip's sermon on how us enjoying God is so pivotal to this as well. It's actually a whole new dimension, and it really it adds to this of just how God uses us enjoying him and living our lives in such a way that glorifies him, but enjoying that. And he mentioned it this morning, and I love this quote. I think Natalie sitting at the back there, she also likes it because she put it on Facebook. But God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. And I want to encourage you to go listen to that sermon, because it affirms us also, once we know whose we are, we can enjoy that. We can enjoy knowing that we're God's children. We can enjoy the purpose that he has for us because he has set us on a path. We don't have to go on our own devices hoping that we find the truth or some meaning in life or some meaning in what someone says or what we do. We actually find it in being with God and knowing who he is. It's quite warm up here. The purpose of truth. I wrote this down. I like it. I'm just going to read it to you. The purpose of the truth is for us to believe it, but more importantly, to live it. To live it out by proclaiming the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into wonderful light. All right? So the purpose of the truth is for us to believe it, but more importantly, to live it out by proclaiming the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into the wonderful light. Which is just another way of saying that our identity, who we are, is for the sake of God. All right? It's for God's sake. God made us who we are to show the world who he is. All right? I'm just going to say that again. God made us who we are to show the world who he is. All right? We are his representation on the earth. And if we allow the world to define who we are not a true reflection of who God wants us to be. We're going to take communion tonight, and I want to invite the band up. And we're going to just spend some time. We're just going to spend some time thinking about these things. Things I've mentioned, the things that we identify with. And ask God to come and restore us. In our prayer meeting this afternoon, just before the service, there was just a vision of God coming to bring just a rain, a washing rain And I really believe God wants to come and wash some of the identity flaws, even in a sense. That God wants to come and renew our identity in Him. That He doesn't desire for us to enter even this new year, the next year. You know, maybe you're just looking to next year. You can't wait for this year to end. The reality is that there's things in our identity that God wants to shape. He wants to remove. And He wants to reveal Himself truly to you. So as we just take, just get the bread and the cups, I want us to think. We're just going to spend a bit of time being quiet and allowing God to come show us, even in our own hearts, right? What we've identified with. What is false, you know? And a lot of times we'll say that those things are okay. I can tolerate them. But if it's distorting, if it's deceiving and it's stealing and it's destroying from your true identity found in God, you need to ask God to come and restore those things. Come and heal those things. And you know what? It's one of the most scariest places to be is when we're so easy to look out into the world and look around us. But I find some of the scariest times is when I look within. I look into my own heart and I'm like, God, what on earth is going on here? And that's what I'm going to challenge you to do tonight. Is just to look at your own heart tonight. God's going to come and speak to you. It's not like He wants to beat you with a stick and say, you know what, you've identified with the wrong things. That is not His heart. His heart is to draw us to Him. To make us one with Him. So that we belong to Him. I'm just going to read that scripture again. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests. A holy nation. God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others. You see that? As a result. Now that this has happened, we have a result. To show others the goodness of God. For He called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you had no identity. Maybe you had some sort of identity. Maybe you were the Marble King. But now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. And tonight we just, as we drink and we're going to eat of the bread, we are reminded of what Jesus has done on the cross. Because it's actually because of Him that we belong. You know, we can enter in. I'm going to give us some time. We're actually just going to be quiet for a while. I want you to close your eyes because I want God to come speak to you. I want you to look within your heart and allow Him to come reveal maybe something in your identity that you never knew was an issue. Right? And that is not the truth. It's not the truth of what God says. So, you can play it, Tian. So we're just going to spend some time. Just close your eyes and just prepare your heart, actually. Prepare your heart to receive a stamp of identity from the King of Kings. God wants to come and remind you of who you are tonight. You're not a failure. That rape, that molestation, that sin, that doesn't define you. You belong. That hurt, that failure, that mistake you made, that is not who you are. That brokenness in your heart that just never seems to go away, that is not who you are. But maybe you're even sitting here and you've never come to the place where you've actually accepted all these truths that God has for you. That you're part of His family. You're part of His chosen people. Just believe that tonight. Believe it, that you're chosen. You're in His family. There's nothing more you can do about it. You could be here tonight, and maybe it's your first time here tonight, and you've never had an opportunity to ask for Jesus to come into your heart and to believe that He died on the cross for you, for your sins, and rose again. Just while our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, I want to give you an opportunity. You don't have to jump up and say, "Yeah, that's me." I just want you to slip up your hand and say, "That's me tonight, John. You know, I've been sitting here and I've been listening to this, but I've never really come to a place where I've said, 'Yes, Jesus, that's me.' I need to come to a place and acknowledge that I'm part of your family." So if that is you tonight, I'm not going to call you up or anything. It's really you acknowledging God tonight. And I want to encourage you to lift up your hand and say, "That is me tonight. That is me. I need to make right with God. I haven't come to that place of acknowledging Him." Then, while we're just quiet, and I'm going to be quiet as well, here I'm just going to play, and I want you to just make right with God. You know, as we end this year, maybe there's things we're not so proud of. The things that we've identified with are not really what we want to identify with. You have an opportunity tonight to make right with God and to identify with Him and say, "You know what, Jesus, I'm sorry. Sorry for placing other things above You, above who You say I am. I've believed lies. And those lies are not the truth. And I want to ask for Your forgiveness, God. Come and restore me. Come and bring about a reset even of who I am in Your eyes, God." And then we thank God this evening for the blood of His Son, Jesus, that was poured out for us to wash us clean and to make us new. And His body that was broken for us as a reminder of what He's done on the cross. And this morning, Philip just reminded us of that it's a celebration, actually. Part of it, yes, it's a sober thing to think about, and we're looking at our hearts now, and God's just revealing stuff to you. Just let Him work. I want to encourage you to let your hearts be open for God to work into them. Because that's even sometimes part of our identity, is our pride. You say, "You know what, I'm okay. I don't need this right now." You're lying to yourself. There's no worse lie than lying to yourself. But let God come in and restore your heart to who you are and where you belong. You're a people. You're a person that belongs to Him. I'm going to just dismiss the meeting. We're not going to chase anyone out. Tian's just going to play. If there's certain things you'd like to pray or get prayed for, there's going to be some facilitators in the front. Maybe there's something I mentioned tonight that you need to pray with someone. You feel... You just need to speak to someone about it. Pray, let God come renew your identity. The fact is that what Jesus has done on the cross is enough. You know? And we celebrate that, and we remember it tonight as we take communion. I want to encourage you. We still got time. Just spend time being honest with God, that He can come and bring a clarity. Actually, I think that's the greatest thing, is God just wants to bring a clarity of vision for you, of who you are. So you can see yourself, you can look at yourself in the mirror and know that you are chosen, that you belong, that you're forgiven, that you're holy. You're a priest for God, for His purposes. He has set upon a purpose and a legacy for you. Maybe you don't believe that tonight. He wants to come and remind you of that. Spend some time just being quiet. And then you can take communion in your own time.
for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.